there is a bat had wrapped its little bat wings around my arm. It was cuffing me like a blood pressure cuff.
What is going to happen here? I've got this thing that might kill him, but he looks to me like he's not far from death right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Laura Wexler.
And I'm Jessica Henkin.
And today, in honor of Halloween, we have Once Bitten, Twice Shy, two stories about being nipped by some creepy creatures.
Do you remember that song?
Which one?
Once Bitten, Twice Shy.
Oh, that's right.
Baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know who sang it?
Poison?
No, you would think. It's not. It's Great White.
Oh.
I think they were...
Was that their one song?
Yeah, that was it, I think. But I say that, but I was not a metalhead. Were you a metalhead?
Yeah, totally. I was a metalhead in that I wore orthodontia, night gear all the time. Okay, so this first story is by Suzanne Linkrum, and it is just a yarn. I love it. Strange stuff that can happen in the neighborhood. Take a listen.
All right, hi, everybody. So my story starts on a typical June night about 2 years ago. The day, it could not have been more typical. I went to work, picked up the kids from camp, survived that dinner rush, that 5 to 7 witching hour that every parent hates. I don't know about you, but I've had a really hard time as an adult getting myself into a regular exercise routine. But 2 years ago, I did it. I had gotten really good rucking every single night with my dog. And tonight, it was getting late. It was approaching dusk, which is a lot later than I usually like to set out on my walk. But I thought, you know what? I have my streak to worry about. What could possibly go wrong? So I laced up my shoes, leashed my trusty sidekick, and hit the road. So this night, I decided I'm going to do my favorite loop. It's a 4-mile walk that winds me up this huge, steep hill amongst hundreds of trees, amongst also some of Baltimore's most beautiful houses. So this night, like most nights when I'm on a walk, I get lost in my thoughts. So today, I was really thinking about a trip I was about to go on. My husband, who's a go big or go home kind of a guy, had planned a surprise birthday trip for me, and we were heading out to the Maldives. And we were leaving in 3 days. So I had all of the boring stuff that you have to think about when you travel. What am I going to take? What suitcase am I going to pack? Can I take this kind of snack into the Maldives? What are the rules? When all of a sudden, bam! Something hit me kind of hard from behind. So I figured, wow, that must have been like a huge pine cone or something, because there's all these trees. So I looked down, and much to my shock, there is a bat had wrapped its little bat wings around my arm. It was cuffing me like a blood pressure cuff. So I screamed, oh, did I scream? I dropped my leash, and I am pushing and brushing this thing off of my arm. I had to do it for like 30 seconds, which doesn't sound like a lot until you have a critter attached to your arm, and then it feels like an eternity. This thing stayed on, and then for whatever reason, it uncoiled its little bat wings and flew up into the night sky. Well, my friends, it didn't have enough. It did a hairpin turn as fast as it can, dive bombs me, and all I can do is put my arms up in a defensive posture and wait for impact. Luckily, it decided, okay, no, I'm done with this woman. Maybe I didn't taste good, I don't know. And it flew up into the trees above me. Oh my God, did I just get attacked by a bat? Oh my God, did it have rabies? Do I have rabies now? So Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you a really quick science lesson. If you don't know, rabies, unless you get treated immediately, it's 99.9% fatal. Also, fun fact, in this country, 70% of the people who die from rabies die after being bitten by a bat. So what does a woman think after she's just been attacked by a bat? Well, don't worry, I'll tell you. And it's not what you would think. My brain came up with 8 million reasons why I should not go to the hospital that night. Even though I knew, if you don't go to the hospital, Suzanne, you're a goner. Oh no, it's late. By the time you get to the emergency department, oh my gosh, you're not going to get home till like 1 in the morning. You have to go to work tomorrow. You've got laundry. You've got lunches to pack. Oh, right. And you have to pack for the Maldives. Oh, crap, the Maldives. Can I still go to the Maldives? Luckily, something jostled in my brain. The more rational part of me took over, and I said, Suzanne, of course you have to go to the hospital. So now I'm 3 miles into my hike of a 4-mile hike. I still have a mile I have to walk home in the woods with some crazy bat out there. I don't know where it is. And I've just shaken my head, resigning the fact that I have to go to the hospital tonight. So I go home, tell my husband and kids, you are never going to believe what just happened to me. And I go in my car and I drive to Sinai. Now let me tell you, getting treated for rabies sucks. Not only is it very expensive, but it hurts. So all those rumors you heard, they're true. It does really hurt. So that night I had to get 6 shots right at the spot where this bat had attacked me. And I had to go back 3 more times over the course of a month, and you have to be on a really strict schedule or else the treatment doesn't work. So I will say, not to toot my own horn, but I was pretty calm the night that I got attacked by this bat, cool as a cucumber. But my friends, that did not last. My old friend anxiety came back to visit me at like 2 o'clock in the morning for a very long time. There was one night I woke up, and I just didn't feel right. And oh my gosh, do I always have this much drool in my mouth? My brain went back to that movie, Who's Seen Old Yeller, where, you know, the family dog contracts rabies and it starts foaming at the mouth. Oh my God, am I foaming at the mouth? Another night I woke up with leg cramps. Normal for me, it's really not that out of the ordinary. But nope, that night it wasn't just my normal leg cramps. It was paralysis starting. Oh my gosh, it set in. I've got like 4 weeks left. Oh, okay. The incubation period for rabies is 1 month to 1 year. We're 2 years in. Ladies and gentlemen, I can with confidence tell you, rabies is not how I'm going down. The treatment worked. It did take me a while to get back out there on my evening walks, but I'm out there walking. Took a little longer to not do this every time I went out for my walk. I've even gotten back to my favorite loop, which will now forever be known by me, my friends, and family as Bat Hill. Thank you.
So what's hilarious, by way of small tumor, is that in the story, Suzanne talks about how her husband had planned her this surprise birthday trip, and they thought they weren't going to be able to go because of her rabies, but it ended up being that their flights got canceled. But before I met Suzanne, I knew about that because my friends were actually people who were going on the trip with her and ended up going on the trip, her birthday trip, wow, without her.
Oh, wow.
And then the other hilarious thing came. Suzanne told this story at a show last spring, and Jessica, who is doing all the shows now, is supposed to host, but she wasn't feeling well, so I stepped in. And I heard her share that story, and I was like, I've heard that story before. How did Jessica hear about you? And she's like, well, it was at some woman's house. Like, there was a small gathering. And I was like, oh, my God, that was my house. That was me. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with another story.
Okay, so this next storyteller is, again, so at our shows, we have curated storytellers, and then we often have audience storytellers, people who just, like, you know, take a shot and literally and figuratively and share a story that is completely impromptu. So this is one of those. Tracy Field, we don't know much about you except to say that the events of this story took place in 1970, so I'm sure she was wearing a smart pair of bell bottoms.
Definitely.
All right, take a listen.
I'm taking you back in time here. This is a story about something that happened to me in 1970. I'm very old, so this is 1970 in Nicaragua. Okay, in 1970, Somoza was still in charge of the country, meaning that there were Somoza and his family were completely rich, and everybody else was dirt poor. This is setting the scene. Now, I was living in a place called Tasbapony. In order to get to Tasbapony, you had to take a bus from Managua that was about an 8-hour bus trip to a place called Rama. Once you were in Rama, you had to get on a boat and take the boat 6 to 8 hours to a place called Bluefields. And that's really the only way to get to the east coast of Nicaragua. There's no roads because it's all rainforest. Once you get to Bluefields, in order to get to Tasbapony, you had to get on another boat. The boat ride took about 12 hours if the motor worked the entire time. And most of the time, it did break down for some portion of that trip. The longest time I ever spent on that boat was 24 hours. Then after that boat ride, that second boat ride, you could get to this little place called Tasbapony. Now, I'm just setting the stage here. That's the stage. So this is where I'm living. Now, this town is on the ocean. It is only reachable by boat. It has no roads. It's just a group of about maybe 30 houses right on the coast. You catch what you can from the ocean to eat. You hunt. You live on what you got right there or what you can pay to bring in, which is not much because it costs a lot. So early in my life there, like when I'd been there a week, I had a knock on the door from a little boy who said, "Can you come over to my house? We have a real problem." I said, "Sure." Went over there, and here is this little probably 8-year-old boy who is lying in bed delirious. He has been bitten by a poisonous snake. And the thinking was, you're an American, you ought to be able to fix him, right? Well, when I came there, I was given a snake bite kit that was very official looking, very army looking. So I thought, well, sure, I've got a snake bite kit. So I ran home and I got my snake bite kit and I brought it back to this house and I said, I've got this snake bite kit. We can figure this out. So I opened it up and it's a big old syringe about this big. I mean, the old-fashioned glass kind. Of course, this was 1970. I guess they all were at those days. But at any rate, then I pulled out the instructions. And it was two sides of a paper this long in the finest print possible. So I started reading and reading and reading, and basically what it said is, this might help you, but it might also kill you because so many people are allergic to the actual serum itself. So you really need to do a little skin test before you actually inject the whole thing. But the skin test could also kill you. So at this point, I'm thinking, what am I going to do? The kid's delirious, really unconscious, just delirious. Blood has started coming out of his ears and out of his eyes. And I am scared to death. what is going to happen here? I've got this thing that might kill him, but he looks to me like he's not far from death right now. So I figured, what the heck? Let's do it. And I inject him with this snake bite venom. So then I think, well, let me read the rest of the instructions. Sadly, way down at the bottom, it says, this antidote is only good for about 6 hours and needs to be repeated every 6 hours until the person comes out of it. Well, you remember the distance between where I am and where the hospital is, which is in Bluefields. And I'm thinking, oh, we got a big problem here. What's going to happen? And at that point, there's all this hullabaloo behind me, and all the people are saying, no, no, it's not going to work. I said, well, what's going on? They said, well, the snake doctor refuses to treat this child now that you've touched him. And I said, what snake doctor? What are you talking about? They said, oh, well, these snake doctors have herbal medicines that can deal with all these poisonous snakes, but he won't get near this child now that you've injected that poison in him. So then I'm thinking, well, this is a fine time to tell me this. I didn't know there was such a thing as a snake doctor. And now this kid is lying here dead, and the one person who probably can heal him won't touch him. So that's my dilemma. So I said, well, I think the best action is to get him on the boat to Bluefields and hope like God he makes it. Well, that's what they did. They got him on the boat to Bluefields. They got him in the hospital, and he actually did survive. I don't know if it was because of this fancy medicine or what, but thank God he survived. It was a pretty low for me.
This is why I probably don't like to travel to regions of the world that are warmer, because I worry about creatures.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible. It's like I'm limiting a lot of my life experiences.
Well, and as we go on here, it's going to be everywhere. So
that's true.
You'll just be on a little iceberg. Thank you all for listening today. You can visit stoopstorytelling.com to learn about upcoming shows and listen to stories. We want to thank Maureen Harvey for producing the podcast, and we will be back soon with more stories from the Stoop.